If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Row.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Row.
And speaking of Copper Row, we're going to continue now the conversation with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who joins us here in the studio for another round of Conversations with the Mayors presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, four promises, and one purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Copper Row. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. And of course, get more on Copper Row at townofcarborough.org. Mayor, welcome. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And we saw each other last night as part of the town's Pride festivities. It was a really, really cool event in Town Hall last night that I was honored and privileged to be able to be a part of.
Yeah, I thought it went really well. Mm-hmm. Everyone had a good time. I enjoyed all of the readings. I was familiar with a lot of them, but I hadn't actually read all of them because I had a Pride volunteer, Nancy Duffner, was the one who kind of arranged everything. I really, really liked it. I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite reading?
Oh,
that would be really hard.
Other than mine?
Right, other than yours. We'll exclude yours.
Yeah, so this was a night of LGBTQ readings that people could participate in. We had a conversation afterwards about who was kind of the best speaker, the best reader, mm-hmm. But we didn't really have a conversation about what my favorite readings were. You know, I really liked the poem that Fred Joyner read about James Baldwin, Sweet Sweet Jimmy, was that the name of it?
Yeah.
That was really good. Alicia Stemper, your wife read a lyrics from a song, mm-hmm. right, about 9/11.
Yeah, it was called Tuesday Morning.
Tuesday Morning, right.
Yeah.
There was one, was he a town employee who read a children's picture book?
It wasn't a town employee.
It was not a town employee.
Yeah,
okay.
That was a gentleman from, works
there.
With El Centro.
Yeah, oh, with yeah. El Centro. Yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah. He brought a picture book, what was it called? Julian is a Mermaid?
Yes.
Is that it? About a little boy who sees mermaids and wants to be one and dresses up like one, and his grandmother supports him in this. And it was a picture book. Like, there were very few words in the book. And he opens it up and he says, this is a picture book I'm going to be reading from. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. And it was great. Like, he's describing the pictures and how or when. And it was really, really fun.
I really did enjoy that. Yeah. You know, what I liked about the evening was that everyone kind of went a different way with
yes.
their reading. You
yeah.
know, we had, you know... different, you know, we had some poems that or readings that talked about race. We had mm-hmm. some that kind of talked about religion, you know.
Yes.
We had, you know, as we said, lyrics, you know, mm-hmm. Children's books. We had, you know, wonderful, you know, kind of older poetry like mm-hmm. Walt Whitman. I mean, modern poetry. And, you know, I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah. And it went in different directions with the approach or the theme. Some people were reading poems and pieces that were very celebratory of gay love and just the ability to be out and proud. Others spoke to the challenges that gays and lesbians and transgender people have faced in history and up through the present day. So there were some very, very dark and troubling readings, and there were some that were just beautiful and lovely, and they all kind of mixed together really well.
Yeah, I was reflecting again on the one that Antonio Alanis from El Centro mm-hmm. read, and it was also he read some of it in Spanish too.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know if the words in the book were. I think he was adding that to it, which I thought was also nice.
Yeah.
So one of the readings I enjoyed all of them really, but mm-hmm. but one of them that really resonated with me was Harriet the Spy.
Yes.
And and so Melody Kramer read that, and I don't know how you went with who did the best presentation. We don't have to do that on the air, but one thing I liked about Melody was, you know, you almost felt like she. Well, of course, she has young children, but mm-hmm. You can tell she's used to like reading in a very kind of, you know, I don't want to say maternal way, but she was, the way she read it even was just very cute, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But as she read her selection from Harriet the Spy, I was reminded of how much I loved that book when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and the part she chose to read, I think I can almost even remember reading that, you know, about all the different things she fastens on her belts and everything. And, in fact, it made me want to go get that book and read it again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right. It probably still holds up, I'm sure. There are some children's books that I still own to this day because I can pull them off my shelf now and I'm enjoying them just as much as I did when I was 8 or 10 or 12.
They're so well written.
They're so well written, yeah.
Yeah, every sentence is just, wow, I wish I could write write that?
I was reflecting on this, and I talked to, I think, Scott Washington about this yesterday. I had a conversation on the air with someone not that long ago, I think it was might have even been earlier this week, about this year, 2019, being the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which was in the summer of 1969.
July 20th.
The Woodstock Music Festival was also in the summer of 1969. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard nearly as much about those 50th anniversaries as I have about the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. And I just think that in and of itself is a really significant truth, that the LGBT movement has come so far and has been so successful. I think if you go back to 1969 in a time machine on December 31st and said, hey, everyone, just so you know, in 50 years, the thing that people are going to be talking about the most mm-hmm. is Stonewall.
Yeah,
they wouldn't believe you.
Such a good point. Well, you know, over the years, of course, there's been the progression mm-hmm. of rights and victories. Whereas, you know, it's almost like, you know, wow, we got on the moon. And then after that, like, okay, we're going to the moon again. We're going to the moon again. We're going to the moon again. And now we're not going to the moon anymore.
Right,
so
right,
maybe that's it. Maybe that was the apex for a short time for the space program. I mean, I know now we have shuttles and maybe we'll be on Mars and all that. But you know, there, it reflects also, I think, the fact, as you say, the movement kept going from
there. Yeah. So upcoming events this month that people want to know about.
Sure. So a couple of related to Pride. I heard you mention already tomorrow night, before I got on here, the Latinx Festival, which will be nice tonight. The Art Walk, be awesome. Beautiful evening out there for Freight Train Blues and the Art Walk, along with children's activities. But next Wednesday, I'm really excited about this panel we're going to have at 7 o'clock at Owassa. We have an extraordinary moderator, you.
and then we
have three panelists. Ames Simmons, director of like transgender issues from Equality NC, and so it'll be awesome to have him there to kind of talk about, you know, all kinds of issues that, unless you're really kind of deep in policy, I would say, folks can really learn a lot from that presentation. Vernetta Alston is coming over from Durham. She sits on Durham City Council. She's an attorney, and she also will speak to some kind of intersectionality kind of, you know, issues. And then we have a speaker from the center. I can't remember the exact name, but it's Department of Aging, maybe from UNC, who's also going to be on the panel, Jenny Womack. And so she's going to speak to issues that seniors are going to face. And what I kind of like about the panel is it's going to be mostly interactive. We're going to have them say a little bit each, and then I'm counting on our moderator to keep it very interesting and kind of follow up on questions and any questions people have in the audience, you know. It's going to be very much a kind of learning experience, you know.
And it's going to be 7 o'clock in the Owassa building, right?
7 o'clock in the Owassa Community Building, yes, on
Jones
Ferry.
And everyone's invited out to sit and listen and ask questions, because it's going to be a lot of really fascinating conversations.
Yeah, I think it'll be really educational. And because of the different varying kind of issues we have, and we can also talk about, you know, that I think that'll also play into other issues as well. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Townofcarborough.org for the full list of upcoming events and more information on all of them, including that one next week, Wednesday. Looking forward to seeing y'all out there for that. Townofcarborough.org also for more information on town government, including recent and upcoming Board of Aldermen meetings. There was one just a couple of days ago on Tuesday where the board had a significant discussion about an issue that's on the minds of a lot of Carborough residents: downtown parking.
Yeah, so we had a meeting in early May where we had a presentation from staff from I think Zach, our transportation planner, kind of started it off, and then Annette, our economic development kind of coordinator, kind of finished it up. But it was mainly to kind of talk through this issue we've been grappling with of how we are going to replace the parking we're going to take away when we build the 203 project. And so we've been kind of looking at our parking plan that we received a few years ago and that we've implemented a bit of, but it's been a challenge implementing some parts of it. And so we asked staff over a month ago, we said, can you come back and just tell us in general what it would be like if we consider moving forward with paid parking and enforcement. And so we had a really good presentation on Tuesday Annette kind of laid out various scenarios. She laid out the opportunity for structured parking in a couple of, she didn't name specific places, but if we were to move forward with that, what we might possibly generate depending on what hours we operated, what we charged, mm-hmm. You know, whether we have 2 hours free, that kind of thing. Talked in general about all of the parking lots that we have control over, either by way of ownership or leasing, and a few spaces we have on the streets around town, and just kind of talked about what we might have to consider if we decided to move forward with paid parking and enforcement. Mm-hmm. Now, this, you know, this represents you know, a pretty big change in Carrboro if we decide to go forward with it. And I did a little straw poll kind of near the end of the discussion, and most, I believe everyone signified, you know, I think time is probably right to move forward with some kind of paid parking. Mm-hmm. And folks, you know, this...
Is that a straw poll of the board or the room?
A straw poll of the board.
Okay.
And and you know, like, this would be some kind of thing where, like, first 2 hours free, and then
right,
after that.
Right.
And indeed, representatives from the Carrboro Business Alliance who were there, who emailed us, and who were represented by Katie Lubas from the chamber, they're very much in favor of this also. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what's happening is, you know, as the years have gone on, people know we have kind of free parking all day. We don't really check it that well, and it mm-hmm. gets filled up, you know. And so we can't really, we're nervous about creating any kind of structured parking if we go that far, which would be paid parking,
right,
without then really having to come up with a mechanism for our other lots, mm-hmm. because, you know, then everyone will just park in the free lots.
Yeah.
I think whatever model we would come up with would be something like still free in the evenings and on weekends, you know, and as I said, 2 hours free, you know, so still somewhat friendly for the user, but the time probably has come for Carrboro mm-hmm. to really seriously consider that. So we had a motion to ask staff to really dig in deeper on that and come back with perhaps some more firm numbers on it, because I believe some of the preliminary figures were, you know, what if we had like just a like an arm, you know, kind of like entry and leaving and entering and so on. And we said, well, what about some other technologies? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so anyway, staff's going to come back again, but there was strong interest, and the reason we're having staff come back too, I think, is to let the community know that we're really very seriously considering this. And, you know, I mean, I think, Aaron, I think it's probably going to be imperative in moving forward with the 203 project that mm-hmm. this kind of happen in probably in likely concurrence with each other.
What are the times of the day or the times of the week or the days of the week when parking is at its, when there's the most demand for parking?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, you know, right now we lease a lot of spaces, mm-hmm. for example, in the Hampton Inn parking deck.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty packed on the weekends at night.
Yes.
But, you know, that's
yeah.
that's the Cradle and that's the Art Center and the night scene, right? I think that, you know, my understanding is, as you might expect, during a lot of the day, our lots are starting to get filled up. Mm-hmm. And we suspect that a lot of that is employee parking, you know, people who work in Carrboro
right,
just parking
right.
there. Or, you know, a lot of folks park their cars and then hop on the bus and go to Carolina. So we're starting to see a little bit of abuse in our lots of that. But, you know, usually by late afternoon, they clear out some. And then the midweek parts, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're generally, you know, more empty. I don't want to say empty, but you can usually always find a spot. Mm-hmm. Of course, on any Friday night, such as tonight, in good weather, Friday evening, Saturday evening, we still see the 203 lot pretty full, as well as a lot of the other lots that are right in the center of town.
Yeah, I think of the two as being very, not similar, but interchangeable in terms of if you go to one and it's full, you can just go to the other and find a space, and they're only two blocks away from each other, so the
right.
walk between the two is...
I mean, what I like to tell people, and I recognize that some people cannot walk very far, you know, mm-hmm. they might have reasons why they really can't.
Right, right.
But honestly, you can park almost anywhere in Carrboro and walk anywhere in Carrboro. I mean, didn't we talk about this once, that really from Carrboro Town Hall all the way down to, like, the Hampton Inn, is literally if you laid South Square Mall.
Yes.
Like down.
South Point, yeah.
I'm sorry, South Point Mall, yes. And you know, people walk South Point all the, you know, they don't,
we
just
had
don't
this,
think of it.
Brad and I had this conversation yesterday because I was at the reading at Town Hall. I parked in that one tiny little lot on Weaver Street that's right before you get to the main street light. And then I met Brad for dinner at Acme. We had dinner with a friend and then we walked to Beltree and had a drink. So at that point, we're on one end of, we're technically in Chapel Hill, I think, or maybe Beltree's in Carver. It's right there on Brewer Street. And we have to walk all the way back to my car. And he's complaining the whole way. And it's like, it's 5 minutes. Come on.
And it was a beautiful evening.
And it was a beautiful evening. Exactly.
Well,
Thank you for letting me get that off my chest on
awesome.
Live radio.
Well, several of us had parked at, I like it. Several of us had parked at Carborough Town Commons, and then afterward we said, well, let's walk down, and we actually just went to Mercado, you know. But the other thing was, that was some good economic development.
It sounds exactly
like it occurred last night,
too. Yeah, it totally was.
But yeah, no, I mean, if all else fails, sometimes I just do park at Town Hall and walk into town. Now, that little lot you're talking about, you can often find a space there, you know. In fact, sometimes I park at Carborough Elementary. You know, there are lots of... You know, if you don't mind walking, you can still do that in Carborough.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and we got to wrap up, but before we do, next week, Tuesday, there's a lot of it's on the consent agenda, but there's 25 items on the agenda for next week or something like that. That's Tuesday at 7 o'clock is the public meeting, right?
Correct.
Is when that begins.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a closed session beforehand at 6 o'clock, but then our regular meeting, of course, is at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, June 18th. And we do have, you know, we only have two meetings left before we do our summer break. So as usually happens, we have an awful lot of items on our consent agenda. And you know, and as I kind of looked over it, I haven't clicked through to look at all the details yet of all of them. But one of them in particular is our human services funding for fiscal year 1920. Mm-hmm. And that's when we always get the recommendations from our Human Services Commission as to the different agencies who have gone through the application process and the monies that we plan on allocating to them. We don't usually deviate very much from what the Human Services Commission recommends.
But
that's still a very awesome awesome item that evening because it represents our support of so many wonderful nonprofits.
Yep.
And then after all those consent agenda items, we have a public hearing about where we're considering rezoning properties up on Rogers Road in the historic Rogers Road neighborhood. We're considering rezoning several properties up there from RR to either HRR or HRMU, which is basically Rogers historic Rogers Road residential or historic Rogers Road mixed use. Mm-hmm. And by that we mean, we don't mean heavy duty mixed use, but the ability to have a little flexibility on your properties. Then we have, you know, we're going to look at the budget and hopefully adopt it that night. We've talked through that an awful lot. We have, and then finally the big, other than some appointments to some boards, we have an update on our energy and climate protection plan and community climate action plan implementation update. Laura Genway has done an awesome job since we hired her several months ago of wrestling with that plan and starting to work more with our EAB and implementing it.
So full agenda online at townofcarborough.org, and that meeting is Tuesday night next week, 7 o'clock in Town Hall. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.